Lesson 8 this morning will be in John chapter 6, 60 through 71. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come this morning asking you, Lord, to have your way. Father, I am so thankful for all that are here. Father, I do pray for those who want to be here but can't. Father, again, just watch care over us all, protect and keep us. Lord, be with each one that has a part in the service. And Father, again, through it all, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, this is a tough lesson, and it was a very tough lesson when it was told by Jesus back in his day. I'm going to read the introduction, and then we'll read the text. Jesus had recently multiplied a small amount of food to feed a crowd of thousands. Later, he taught that he was the true bread from heaven, the bread of life, and the living bread. You can find that in John. His hearers resented such an audacious claim, but Jesus made his point even more graphically. This living bread is his own flesh, and unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. His shocking words led some of his followers to turn away from him. I think in order for us to get the full meaning of this, I know the text says 60 through 71, but I think we'll have a little bit of a background. Like the text said, there was 5,000 men. Think about that. Now, if you just figure, and this is, you step off to the side, you figure these men brought their families. So there was way more than 5,000 people that got fed when Jesus asked the blessing upon a few fish and a few loaves. So these folks began to follow him as disciples. They heard his words, they heard his teaching, and really, and I think a lot of them were just following for the entertainment and for free food. And that's the way a lot of the world is today. You know, they don't want to live by the words he feeds us. They just want to be entertained, and they want free stuff. So there come a time when there were so many followers, disciples, just like us, wanting to learn more about Jesus. But Jesus knew in his heart who was with him and who was not with him. And he decided that it was time for the rubber to meet the road. So he told them, and we'll read it in Scripture. I'm going to start at, let's start at 44. No man can come to me except the Father who has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up in that last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that have heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, except he who is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. He who eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by my Father, so he that eateth me shall he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doeth this offend you? What if ye saw the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that would betray him, being one of the 12. Like I said, it was a tough saying. You know, the first question in the book asks us this question. What is the conflict in this passage? Any thoughts? He was preparing hearts and minds for what was to come. He knew that there would be many that would fall away. And he wanted to make sure that those who were true followers of him, that truly had a change of heart, that they were going to follow him no matter what come. Now we know from the scripture that even of those 12, when it truly came to the time, they all fled. But he knew who would stay strong. When Jesus said, We must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, many folks turned away. You know, the thought that comes to your mind almost immediately is cannibalism. You know, when they said, Who can stand here and hear this? What they were saying was, We're offended by this. How can a man stand in front of a crowd and talk about eating flesh and drinking blood? And they just couldn't stand. They turned their backs and they walked away because their hearts were truly not right. And we find that scripture in John 6:53. He spoke as he often did in parabolic terms, which are parables. We must receive him by faith. You have to have faith. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who he says he is. And in John 1:12, it talks about receiving him in faith. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And you find that in Matthew 5:6. We understand that we need physical food and drink. We all do. After all, we are Baptist. I love that, huh? It's true. But the Methodists are the same. The Catholics are the same. Everybody needs physical food. But it just seems like, well, Rose always tells me to move on. But Baptists do like to eat. They truly do. And that is what his sacrifice provides. True living food. Jesus explains that it is not physical bread that the world needs, but spiritual bread. Folks, it's the same today. If you take your Bible once a week off the shelf, think about how that compares to if you only have one meal a week. You're going to starve to death, physically and spiritually. In order to remain for that hunger of that living bread, you have to read that bread. You have to take it and hold on to it and pray over it and read it and just let it fulfill you spiritually. Jesus explains again that it is not physical bread that the world needs, but spiritual bread. Jesus three times identifies himself as that spiritual bread in John 6 alone, in verses 35, 48, and 51. And twice he emphasizes his faith, a spiritual action, as the key to salvation. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him might have eternal life? No, shall. One thing the power company taught me over 30 years of working for them, there's a difference between should and shall. Should is, it's highly recommended. Shall is mandatory. It's absolutely true. You shall do this. Jesus says, you eat of my bread and drink my cup, you shall have eternal life. And at that moment, people were offended because they didn't know why he had truly come. Like again, I think they were amazed that they got to be with so many people and that he fed them. And he was going throughout the countryside and they were going to follow him, if for no other reason than to get a full belly. You know, when he was saying this, they're thinking in their minds, not that he has come to give us living, give us life, to give us eternal life. But they were thinking, oh my goodness, is this another one of these crazy people from out of the wilderness that just wants to try something new? Question two says, meeting criticism of their words, many people would back down and try to soften what they had said. Instead, how did Jesus defend his claims in verses 61 through 65? One that came to me was John 3, 6, and 7. That which is born of flesh is flesh. The physical is merely physical. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised that I have told you, you must be born again. Reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified. You know what he was telling them, and some of them were getting it, some of them weren't. Those of us here that have testified to other people, that have tried to tell them the way, all about the way, you can look in their eyes and see that there's the hunger, they're getting it. And some people just don't get it. They just don't. But don't you give up. You continue to pray for that person or persons that the Holy Spirit of God would draw them ever closer. I mean, I thought he was pretty straightforward. Unless you do this, unless you give yourself to me as your Lord and Savior, you're wasting your time and you're wasting mine, because you're not here to have a change of heart. You're here for the free food and the entertainment. I thought question three and four kind of ran together. Why do you think Jesus was willing to lose followers over the issue of his being the true bread from heaven? And 4, why do people lose their enthusiasm for Christ? Think of as many reasons as you can. We'll look at question 3 first. Something that you all may have experienced in time. And if you haven't, with your faith, you stand strong. And when times of adversity comes, people who have no thoughts of God, no calling of Jesus, and I've seen it in funeral homes, where do they go? They go to the believer in the room. They will flock around that person. Not that this person is any different, any special, but they have their faith in Christ. And the folks without, they want to be close to something that is solid, that is good. And people will truly come to those who are, will you pray for our family? Will you help us? Will you just love on us? This is separating the wheat from the tares. That's what this is. He knew those who would follow. And he was going to the cross. And all of these apostles were all disciples because we're after the teachings of Christ. But these 12 apostles, he knew what they were going to face. The only one to survive and live out a full life was boiled in oil and survived. And then put on an island where nobody ever survived. And John did. But all the rest of them met a martyr's faith or a fate. To get back to this point, Miss Ina, even today, people that ask for prayer and faithful people who gather together to lift up their voices to Christ, and God in his mercy and his grace and his love for us answers this prayer. People who didn't believe asked specifically for a prayer, and it was answered by God. How do they not fall on their knees and claim the name of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? It's the same today. The gospel message has never changed. The way we deliver it changes, but the message is the same. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And without him, you're going to perish. And it was the same way then. Those who turned their back, now, this is between God and them. Whether they came back through hearing of other miracles, other works of faith, I don't know. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You dwell on that verse for a little bit and you understand what faith is. You know, I can remember Jesus telling one of the disciples, just because you've seen these, you believe. But how much more will those who have never seen all of these works, but yet have faith enough to believe in me? What a blessing. Folks, that's us today. And you have to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because there's only two choices in life. You're either with Christ or you're with the devil. And that's what he's trying to tell these people. You know, my flesh is real. It's living flesh. Everything about me is how you gain eternal life. But you have to come to me. I had the things that come to me was the sower and the seed. Even today. The sower and the seed was recorded at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's how important it was. Jesus wanted people to understand this very word, or these three words. Life is hard. And nowhere in this Bible, and I'm not bragging, I'm not anything, but I've read this Bible cover to cover numerous times. Nowhere in this Bible does it say life is fair. It's not in there. You know, Christ himself tells us that There's going to be rough periods in our life. But remember this, life is but a vapor. You're only here for a short amount of time. We all can remember our grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles. We're those people now. Well, some of you aren't, but that's the great thing about youth. But we are. The majority of us in here were those who used to look at those aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandfathers and moms and dads. We're now it. That's how life cycles. But eternal life is forever. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Cling to me. Follow me. Believe in me. And the kingdom that awaits us, our minds can't even comprehend. That's the great thing. A man's reception of God's word is determined by the condition of his or her heart. Think about that. He wanted people who had a change of heart, not just seeking free food and entertainment. He wanted people who were going to spread the good news, tell people about the way. And the way is Jesus Christ. Question number 5. What keeps you going as a faithful Christian? That'll make you think for a moment. One of the things that I can relate to, and Miss Ina, we kind of talked about this just a little bit ago. Knowing what God has done in my life. And I've often said this. The most powerful thing that you have against the world is your personal testimony. That's your personal walk with Jesus Christ and yourself. And nobody can take that away from you. And to have times of testimony where other people talk about how good God has been in their lives and how He's answered prayer and how He showed up as the light in the darkest times of their life, that's what keeps me going. You know, and we're in such a hurry. This is society today. We're in such a hurry. We want it now. But listen to these, or to this. God is never late. He's never early. And He's always right on time. He knows exactly what you need when you need it. Question 6. What would you tell a person, or what have you told a person who said they doubted whether being a Christian was worth it? Folks, this breaks your heart. And if it doesn't, I would use the words of Paul in Philippians 3, 14 through 16. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Stay in church fellowship. It's important, folks. Well, you know, I don't need church. Yes, you do, because you never know how you can encourage somebody who's having a bad day. Pray more. Pray more. You can pray and it doesn't cost anything. Because the time that you're not praying, if you're like me, you're probably in mischief. Or your wife's telling you what you should be doing. And I love my wife. And I thank God for her every day. But I'm sure we're all in this. And ladies, same goes for you. Instead of your husband telling you what to do, I'm in prayer. I've got my private time. You know, I saw so many things on TV last night about St. Patrick's Day. And my mother was Irish. My dad was Scottish. So that tradition is alive and well. And I came from a family that really liked to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. But you think of the people that will wake up with headaches. And we can come to church and have this time of renewal. just getting our batteries charged up for the week that's ahead of us to go out there. And just like Brother said, even if it wasn't true, it's still a good way to live. But I know it's true. I know. Because of the things that Jesus Christ has done in my own life. I know it. There's no denying it. It wasn't chance. It wasn't just happened. It was answer to prayer in my time of need. And like I've said many times, it wasn't about that red Corvette. It wasn't. It was about the spiritual need that I had at the moment. Physical pain. Pain for those I loved. And it's just amazing how an old sinner like me, that God would take the time to answer my prayer. Now, I don't always get my prayer answered, just like Brother Paul said. There's times you don't get what you want. But the times that He does bestow His love and grace upon you because it glorifies Him, what a day. Question 7. When some of Jesus' followers left Him, He pointedly asked the 12 if they were going to leave also. In verse 67, though his question sounds plaintive, the original Greek indicates that he expected them to answer no. Why do you think he singled out the 12, including Judas, to ask this question? 8 kind of goes right along with it, so we'll combine 7 and 8. 8 says, what connection do you see between Jesus letting some of his followers go and the fact that he knew people's hearts? Scripture tells us in verse 64 that Jesus knew their hearts. He knows all things. He knows everything. He would only strengthen them and reassure them for the things that they would face in the coming days. He wanted them to stay strong and tell others about the way. Like I said before, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He wanted those to stand strong because, folks, I think it's coming. I don't know if the Lord will tarry. If He does tarry long enough, I think those of us who remain and our children, our children's children, will see persecution here in these United States. To our north in Canada, they're looking to pass a bill. And it's, for the short version, it's hate speech. That if a local congregation of churchgoers who follow the Bible and say that the sins that are mentioned in the Bible are terrible things, that you should repent. With that law in Canada, to just the north of us, if found guilty, which would be, as Brother Todd records, that would be proof enough in a court of law, you could be imprisoned for life. Now, you think it's not coming? Canada is where it's at. Persecution of Christians is coming. It is. Now, whether or not the Lord will allow this country to go through that, I don't know. That's between Him and the Lord and the Holy Spirit. But He already has a plan. But don't think that this is something that's across the ocean now. It's next door. It's that close. Pray, folks. Pray for the lost and pray that the Lord comes quickly. It's important. Question number 9. Almost all of us have realized, probably with surprise, that our devotion to Christ is not what it once was. Remember I told you when we started this study, there's some things that I just don't agree with? What, if anything, did you do about that realization? Do you remember the excitement you had when you found your true first love? And that true first love is Jesus Christ. Do you remember the excitement? Nothing should change today. It's still the same. He's still on the throne. He's still there. He's still God. He's still the center of our life. Each day, ask God to strengthen me where I'm lacking. And that's important. Because you may go through the same routine lacking something and not knowing it. But if you ask God to show you and to strengthen you in the places that you are having a little bit of weakness? He will do it. Understand that we alone can do nothing. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Now that's a version of the Bible, the Amplified version. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That should be your daily prayer request. Strengthen me, Lord, in where I'm lacking. Let me be the light that you want me to be. Not the light that I want to be, but what you want me to be. Question 10 and 11. In what areas of your life would you like to have greater stamina and perseverance in faith? And as you consider areas where your faith falters, what encouragement do you find in Peter's response to Jesus' question in verses 68 and 69? The world has absolutely nothing to offer. Everything in this world is but a vapor. Bible study for wisdom and knowledge, James 1, 5, and 6 comes to my mind when I was studying this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Christ is that centerpiece. Love, he abounds in it. He gives it to us freely. Matthew 24, 34 and 35, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, this generation, the people living when these signs and events begin will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth, as now known, will pass away. But my words will not pass away. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Lord, again, just be with the remaining service. And Father, thank you for this time of fellowship. Father, bless this food that we're about to partake of. And Lord, again, through it all, may you be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.